is made up of those Cambridge graduates who are so useless they can't even get their own series on Radio 4.
Oh, I'm hurt.
My father, you know, became a Tory cabinet minister. He was sussed out by MI6 when he was at Oxford. And there was a wonderful misunderstanding because they said to him, if there was a man that you most admire, who would that man be? And my father, who was studying philosophical logic, said, Bertrand Russell. And he was virtually sort of shoved out of a moving car because, of course, he was a great peace activist. Anti-nuclear weapons. So that was it.
So he wasn't allowed?
No, not with Bertrand Russell.
Did anybody ever try and poach you for MI5 or MI6 or any of those things? Did anybody come up to you and say...
If they did, I was far too drunk to be aware of it at the time. Which may be why they would have desisted. Yeah. My sister, I think, they thought sniffed around a bit. Yes, but she didn't like the idea.
I didn't get approached once.
No, I didn't.
Nobody offered me any kind of job.
I got approached by MFI.
I'm still available for offers.
But usually, don't they want to recruit people who speak, you know, some special... I mean, I speak Danish, but that doesn't seem to be of any use to anybody.
They don't.
Well, that's because Denmark doesn't have a nuclear bomb, I guess. Yeah. Or maybe I'm mistaken. Maybe there's a secret Danish nuclear weapons factory.
I don't think we have any secrets. We're a very open nation. I don't think... Do you know, for a while, because we have many, many parties in Denmark. We're a multi-party country. And for a while, there was one party who did quite well, actually, and their defence policy for the whole of Denmark was to put red telephones all the way around the border, that when you picked up the receiver, it said, "We surrender in every known language." You would save on all those bombs and naughty things. I think it'll be fine. Papers found in an abandoned office in Tripoli suggest that MI5 and MI6 enjoyed a close working relationship with Colonel Gaddafi's security services and were complicit in rendition flights. Abdul Hakim Belhaj alleges CIA and MI6 injected him with truth serum before interrogating him, during which time they found out he owns a James Blunt album. And sometimes wears his wife's underwear for comfort purposes. 2 points to Jeremy. Fred, whose testimony has hacked off his old boss?
We're looking for clarity here in the phone hacking scandal. And it's a complicated business about people that don't know how much they know, they don't know whether they know anything, and they don't know how long they've not known how much. So I've read a bit about it, so if you'll forgive me, I want to sort the wheat out from the chaff. It's all to do with James Murdoch, who is the son of newspaper and media tycoon Rupert Murdoch, and what he said to the parliamentary investigation. And then you've got to add to this the subsequent declaration by Tom Crone and Colin Myler about what they may have discussed at length or not at length with James Murdoch when discussing the existence or non-existence of an email, which may or may not have included the details on how far-reaching the phone hacking had gone in 2008 or 2009.
Has anybody else in the room got an erection?
Anyway, now, bear with me, folks. There is a lot to get through here, but I'm going to sort it out for you once and for all, because all of this came to light because of a payment that was reportedly paid to Gordon Taylor.
Who's a football person.
He was, off the PFA. Taylor was reported to have been given £700,000 by News International, at which point anybody in senior management might have asked the question, is there anybody else that we've maybe or maybe not hacked into that might or might not want £700,000. Only an idiot wouldn't have asked that, OK? So let's cut to the chase. Here are the facts from all of that, and I apologise for going on at some length. Rupert Murdoch has got a son, James.
I do think that James Murdoch's appearance at this extraordinary thing, refusal to accept blame or to offer any useful answers, and I thought, oh, he's been training all those people at the Sky call centre when I ring up.
We're not going to get to the bottom of it, though, because it's been entrusted to an all-party select committee, and the trouble with that is it's the definitive sort of mixed ability grouping, and there's a couple of them who are born cross-questioners, but, you know, in terms of the rest, you know, their interrogating abilities. It's a bit like having a panel comprised of Sherlock Holmes, Perry Mason, Dale Winton, Jim Bowen and Sooty. So just as Sherlock Holmes closes in on his prey and then Perry Mason goes in for the kill, it's Sooty's turn. And with one bound, they're free. And it's just no way to find things out.
You're probably wondering why I've invited you all here today. What's that, Sooty?